That is how it is. Life, tight-buttoned life, fits him ill, making him too much aware of himself and what he glumly takes to be his unalterable littleness of spirit. He hears from somewhere unseen the faint, muffled clopping of small hoofs. It will be the early postman on his pony, in turn and taxi's livery, with his tricorn cap and his post horn looped on his shoulder. The man at the window is called Adam. He is not yet 30. The young son of an elderly father, product, as he once overheard that twice-married father say with a sardonic laugh, of my second coming. Idly he admires the dense, mud-purple shadows under the trees. A kind of smoke hovers ankle-deep on the grey-seeming grass. Everything is different at this hour. An early blackbird flies across at a slant, swiftly from somewhere to somewhere else, its lacquered wing catching an angled glint of sunlight, and he cannot but think with a pang of the early worm. He fancies he can hear faintly the fleet-winged creature's piping panic note. Gradually now, he is becoming aware of something he cannot identify, a tremor that is all around, as if the air itself were quaking. It grows more intense. Alarmed, he takes a soft step backwards into the protective dimness of the room. Clearly, he can hear the sluggish thudding of his heart. A part of his mind knows what is happening, but it is not the part that thinks. Everything is a tremble now. Some small mechanism behind him in the room, he does not look, but it must be a clock, sets up in its innards an urgent, silvery tinkling. The floorboards creak in trepidation. Then from the left the thing appears, huge, blunt-headed, nudging its way blindly forward and rolls to a shuddering halt and stands there in front of the trees, gasping clouds of steam. The lights are still on in the carriages. They make the dawn draw back a little. There are bent heads in the long windows, like the heads of seals. Are they all asleep? And the conductor with his ticket thing is going up an aisle, clambering along hand over hand from seat back to seat back, as if he were scaling a steep incline. The silence round about is large and somehow aggrieved. The engine gives a testy snort, seeming to paw the earth. Why it should stop at this spot every morning, no one in the house can say. There is not another dwelling for miles. The line is clear in both directions, yet just here is where it halts. His mother has complained repeatedly to the railway company, and once even was moved to write to someone in the government, but got no reply, for all the renown of her husband's name. I would not mind, she will say in a tone of mild sorrow, what noise it made going past. After all, your father in his wisdom insisted on a setting up home practically on the railway line. But the stopping is what wakes me.